Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details, because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion, it's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made to last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Mr. News.
And I'm Sophia. So thrilled you're tuning in with us today.
We've got a really important topic lined up. We're going to chat about how Alabama's approach to sex crimes has changed from 2000 all the way to 2025.
Wow, that's quite a journey. So much has happened in that time frame, both legally and socially, you know?
Absolutely. So let's hop back to the early 2000s. You remember how annual reports of sex crimes were around 1,500 to 2,000 cases?
Yeah, but honestly, I think those numbers were probably higher. The stigma back then made people hesitant to report, wouldn't you agree?
Exactly. People just weren't as comfortable coming forward.
And there wasn't as much support available either.
Right. But things started to shift with more awareness campaigns and changes in legislation.
Oh, yeah. Like when they amended the rape laws in 2001 to be gender neutral.
That was a game changer. It acknowledged that anyone, regardless of gender, can be a victim.
Totally. But can you believe some people thought those changes weren't necessary?
Really? Why would they think that?
Well, some traditionalists felt the existing laws were sufficient and didn't need updating.
Sometimes it's hard for people to accept change, especially when it challenges long-held beliefs.
Absolutely. But moving forward, between 2006 and 2010, we saw Samantha's Law come into effect.
That's the one that changed the sex offender registry, making it more accessible to the public, right?
Yep. The idea was to enhance community safety, but it also sparked debates.
I can imagine. Some probably felt it infringed on the rights of offenders who've served their time.
Exactly. It's that balance between public safety and giving people a chance to rehabilitate.
It's a tough one.
It really is. Hey, didn't they also introduce the Sexual Assault Kit Initiative around then?
Yes, Saki was introduced and it really revolutionized forensic investigations.
For sure. It improved how evidence was processed, leading to more accurate and timely results.
But I heard there were issues with backlogs.
Unfortunately, yeah. They struggled with the sheer volume of kits to process.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, it made a positive impact on prosecuting offenders.
Absolutely. Then in 2011, we had Jessica's Law, enacted.
That's the one with mandatory minimum sentences for crimes against children, right?
Exactly. It aimed to deter heinous crimes by imposing strict penalties.
But didn't some critics argue that mandatory minimums took away judicial discretion?
They did. Judges couldn't consider individual circumstances as much, which could lead to disproportionate sentences.
It's such a complex issue.
Definitely.
And, you know, around that time, we saw rape reports increase to between 2,500 and 3,000 annually.
Uh-huh. Partly because people were more willing to report thanks to better awareness.
And national events like the Steubenville case really influenced that.
Oh, yeah. That case got everyone talking about consent and accountability.
Social media played a huge role in that, connecting survivors and advocates across the country.
Right. It amplified voices that might have otherwise gone unheard.
Then, of course, from 2016 to 2020, we had the Me Too movement.
Oh, that was massive. Reports surged as more people felt empowered to share their stories.
Absolutely. And legal reforms followed, like allowing video victim testimony,
which was so important for those who couldn't face their attackers in court.
But some were concerned it might affect the defendant's right to a fair trial.
True, it's all about balancing the rights of the victim and the accused.
Exactly. Then from 2021 to 2025, Ava's Law was passed.
Oh, that broadened consent definitions, didn't it?
Yes, it clarified what constitutes consent, including factors like coercion and incapacity.
But I heard some people still felt the definitions were too vague.
Legislation can't cover every nuance, but it's a step in the right direction.
Great.
And technology's role has been huge too, right?
Oh, definitely. Advanced data analysis and AI-driven forensics have changed the game.
AI can identify patterns and potential threats, helping law enforcement immensely.
But there are privacy concerns with that, you know?
Absolutely. We need to make sure technology doesn't infringe on individual rights.
For sure. There needs to be oversight and clear regulations.
And let's not forget community initiatives.
Yes. Grassroots movements have been instrumental in raising awareness and supporting survivors.
Programs that integrate technology with community outreach.
Exactly. They're bridging gaps and fostering collaboration.
It's really inspiring to see how collective efforts drive change.
Absolutely. But we still have a long way to go.
Right. Increased reporting and evolving laws are great, but we need sustained action.
Support services for survivors are still underfunded.
And education is key, starting from a young age with teaching about consent and respect.
Exactly. It's about creating a culture that doesn't tolerate abuse.
Sometimes I wonder if we're moving fast enough.
Well, progress takes time, but every step counts.
You're right. By having these conversations, we're contributing to that progress.
Absolutely. Raising awareness is crucial.
Hey, did you hear about that new program they're starting in schools?
No. What's that about?
They're integrating consent and healthy relationship education into the curriculum.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, it's starting in middle schools and continuing through high school.
That could make such a difference.
I think so too. It's all about prevention through education.
Uh-huh. Empowering young people with knowledge is so important.
Absolutely. And not just for potential victims, but also teaching respect and boundaries to everyone.
Exactly. It's about changing the culture from the ground up.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Thanks. So, any final thoughts?
Just that we need to keep pushing for accountability and support for survivors.
I couldn't agree more.
And thanks to all our listeners for joining us on Alabama Uncovered.
Yes, thank you all. Let's keep the dialogue going and strive for positive change.
Until next time.
Take care, everyone.